We used to think, or we do think about mental health in two ends of a spectrum. Either you are depressed and burned out and lonely, and on the other end of the spectrum, you are living your best life. You are flourishing. This is kind of what Adam Grant says. So he said, let's use the word languishing to describe something that's also on that spectrum, but it's neither of the other two. And that feeling like kind of the absence of well-being. You feel like you're stagnating. You may even feel empty. If we get the rhythm of the doing and the being wrong, that might also be something that contributes to that feeling of languishing. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to this clarity quest. Like David said, Francois had an upgrade. He's at two. So you're stuck with this face today. And those of you who were there a year ago, I have high hopes that this will be an upgrade. So
No question.
I'm going to share my screen because I can't write and talk at the same time like Francois. And also I can't write as pretty as he does. I want to tell you about a concept that I read about recently called the spectrum of well-being. And it's this thing is based on an article written by Adam Grant. I don't know if you know his work. Think Again was his one book, and now the new one is Hidden Potential. Worth a read anyways. But he wrote during COVID, he said, we used to think, or we do think about mental health in two ends of a spectrum. We think either you are depressed and burned out and lonely and can't get up in the morning and can't put one foot in front of the other. Often you don't want to live anymore, that end of the spectrum. And on the other end of the spectrum, you are living your best life. You are flourishing. You are fulfilled. Life is meaningful. You have purpose. Stuff is just going excellent. It can't get any better than that. And he said during COVID, no, hang on a second. There's got to be another word here, because this isn't describing, it's a false dichotomy. It's not describing what seems to be going on with humans and during the context of COVID, but still afterwards and before, we need another word here. This is kind of what Adam Grant said. He said, listen, we need a word like that feeling you have when you're not depressed and burnt out and lonely and don't want to live anymore, but when you're also not living your best life, when you are not fulfilled and flourishing. So in the spectrum of well-being, he then said, let's use the word languishing. So he said, let's use the word languishing to describe something that's also on that spectrum, but it's neither of the other two. So it's when you kind of, you have a lack of vitality. This is actually the definition according to the Woorde book, because I know everybody's not English. But I thought maybe a good Afrikaans word is like krepeer of verlep, like just you know, languishing. Krepeer and verlep is kind of a good Afrikaans translation for what he means with languishing. Now we've got this word languishing, and Adam Grant said languishing, kind of the absence of well-being. So it's not completely there, but it's the absence of well-being. And you're missing a sense of purpose. And that feeling like, I did nothing today. I had that feeling when I had small kids and I didn't have a proper job, proper grown-up job. I felt like, I have nothing to show for this day. Your emotional budget is like in the red. Low-grade sadness, melancholy. You feel like you're stagnating. You may even feel empty. So that is kind of what Adam Grant said. This is the word that we need in that spectrum of well-being. So if you can get your pens and your papers ready, that's my spiel for the day. So it's already an upgrade from a year ago. I see David laughing. So I would love to know, in general, if you take like a deerschnitt cut of your life, let's say that the one in the depressed, burnt out, don't want to be here anymore is a minus 10, and the living my best life can't get any better than this. I wish I never die because I want this to go on forever as 10, and languishing as zero. Where would you plot yourself on that spectrum? Now, I just want to drop a little bomb here. This past 3 months, I've been constantly reminded of a phrase by Eckhart Tolle. I don't know if you've read his work, In the Now or Something Now. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, but we have to constantly be aware of the dance between doing and being. Okay, so if we get the rhythm of the doing and the being wrong, that might also be something that contributes to that feeling of languishing. Then two other things that I just want to keep you in mind before we go to the next question. Adam Grant said, the antidote to languishing does not have to be something productive. It can be something joyful. And sometimes it's small wins, sometimes it's big action. And then that bit that I just told you, that Eckhart Tolle said, there are certain voices in our head, and those voices are programmed by us to protect ourselves, to keep us in a space where we feel or we perceive to be safe and comfortable. But it feels safe and comfortable because it's familiar, not necessarily because it's good for you anymore. So between where you are now and how you dream your life to be, when you are stuck in this space, there are especially two voices that will continuously try to keep you there, that will try to keep you from going for what you want. And those voices, one, the voice of the judge, and you'll recognize that voice. The voice of the judge is the one reminding you constantly that you are not good enough. What if I fail? But simply, you are not good enough. You can't do this. You can't. You've been working in a home office so long, you don't have what it takes. So the one kind of climbing into your character. And then the other voice is the beautiful voice of the cheerleader, who was simply designed to keep you where you perceive yourself to be safe and comfortable, even if that space isn't long, no longer serving you. And the voice of the cheerleader will sound something like, ah, you know, you have been doing this for so long. You are really great at this job. Or, you know, they do pay you very well. I don't know, Norette, you are getting paid well. So just free it up this 8 hours of chill every day because at least you are being paid well. And the money you get enables you to go on nice holidays. So, you know, just stay here. So I've got a client who named her cheerleader voice after a lady that worked with her husband that she never liked. So she calls the voice Vicky. So she says, that's Vicky. So I'm listening to this podcast, and my words are going to be a jumble because I'm still making sense of it. It's a lady doing research on emotions, and she's saying that our brains always try to find something familiar to hook something on. So we would, if our heart starts racing and we get that feeling in our tummy or a very specific feeling, we immediately say, I'm anxious, or oh, I'm so scared to go into this conversation, or oh, I'm nervous, because those are familiar labels for that feeling that we've got. And her tip is to say, there's nothing emotions. So the research shows, she's a profi, the research shows that there's no physical signals for specific emotions. It's very much made up. We label the emotion based on the feeling that we've got. And she says changing that to, instead of saying, oh, I'm anxious, and immediately your brain goes, okay, what do you have to do when you are anxious? Let's go. Starting to label those bodily feelings differently. For instance, saying, before you have to go to speak of a lot of to in front of a lot of people, and you get that feeling, instead of saying I'm so nervous, rather saying, this is my body telling me I have something important to say, and changing the label of that emotion, because that will change the way that you show up in the moment. So I would love to know, and just for those of you who love philosophy and reading a bit, Daniel Kahneman, he's a Nobel Prize winner for Thinking Fast and Slow. That's not what he won it for his work in behavioral psychology. But anyway, he said sometimes he doesn't use the word languishing, it's in another context, but he says sometimes you should ask how to be more happy, but sometimes you should just ask how to move away from being sad. Okay, so whichever way you choose to phrase the question, how can I move closer to living my best life? Or how can I move further away from languishing? How can I move my little dot up closer to the 10? And I've got 5 questions that I would love for you to think about, and maybe just jot down one thing for each of them for the sake of time. But what can you do more of? And more for now is an open word, but if you write something down there and it's like, I can exercise more, you know, the Clarity Quest exercise, go and decide, what does more mean for me? Does it mean 3 times a week? And then go and schedule it. So I'm assuming that that's built into the word more for everybody. The same for what can you do less of? One thing that you can do less of, what can you start doing? One thing you can stop doing? And one thing you think things are good there, I can continue doing that. And also just, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking, like quit my job. It can be small wins. Okay, sometimes it's big action, sometimes it's small wins. And just remind yourself as well, I don't want to, if you are at the space where you think, sherbet, my situation is because I'm doing too much and not being enough, then that can be something on your list.